Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my best friend and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, sweetie, and blessings to all. And we are moving right along in the book of Revelation. We're actually in chapter 16 tonight. But as always, let's first give God the glory.
Oh God, or else should I? We glorify your holy name and all your names. We pray blessings upon all the righteous and fully trust that thy will shall be done. We are grateful to have received your knowledge of understanding that we are living in the final days, resting in your arms of peace, regardless of our surroundings or personal affliction. We humbly thank you for your supernatural protection as we lift up to you these recent prayer requests and for the salvation of all our loved ones. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Israel's been dealing with some major battles lately.
About 5 days of it, but Israel took out a few of the Islamic Jihad's major leaders. For now, all is enjoying a ceasefire, but Israel said they are prepared to wage a prolonged campaign in Gaza should the rockets resume after Nakba Day, which was yesterday, the 15th, when the Palestinians commemorate the catastrophe, they say, of Israel's becoming a state the day before, on the 14th, in 1948. And our two anti-Semite Muslim congresswomen wanted to recognize Nakba Day here in America. Speaker McCarthy said, no way. However, the UN, of course, did.
Well, did that surprise you?
Nope. Thankfully, our Secretary of Defense, Austin, underscored continued support for Israel's right to defend itself. Sadly, Israel's response to the rockets were condemned by France and the UK. Even though in just 2 days, Jihad fired 469 rockets into Israeli towns and villages, while the IDF only fired 133 strikes back in Gaza. But they did kill their Palestinian commander, Ali Ali, and their top two lieutenants, who actually set up and directed the latest Palestinian rocket blitz against Israel. But Israel's Iron Dome and two David Sling batteries downed 91% of the incoming rockets.
We'll see if they start that up again.
Mm-hmm. And finally, after 4 years, the Durham report has been released, basically proving the FBI is corrupt. But we already knew that.
So, where are the indictments?
There are none. No one is held accountable for the damage done to innocent people at our cost of $6.5 million. And the Jesuit-trained Christopher Wray, our FBI director, says he's cleaned it all up by now. What a joke. Who says nothing about the evidence given by whistleblowers and shown on Hunter's laptop, bringing any charges that prove Joe Biden was in a pay-to-play scheme. And he certainly was and is, maybe still. Anyway, pray for our few loyal congressmen who are really trying to expose these criminals, of which, sad to say, there are many in our justice system who work together under demonic influence. You know, the Bible talks often about greed, as in Micah 7:3.
That they may successfully do evil with both hands. The prince asks for gifts, the judge seeks a bribe, and the great man utters his evil desire. So they scheme together.
But not forever, praise be.
All right, then. If you'd like to contact us, there are three ways to do so. You can send an email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office and leave a detailed message. As to your question to Sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office and leave a detailed message. as to your question, be sure to leave your phone and number. Also, by regular mail, Postal Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And if you appreciate and are blessed by this program, any love offering is very much appreciated, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net, which also includes all the past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your added learning.
And it's still free. Well, the final judgments are about to be realized, and we'll read in verse 17 that the Lord says, "It is done." And you know, we heard those words before, haven't we? Tetelestai, from Jesus as one of his final last words from the cross. Sin was then paid for. But now it's to bring in his new kingdom as evil will meet its death. So far we saw the seal and the trumpet judgments. Now it's the worst of all of them, the bowls. And this chapter doesn't need a lot of explanation. So let's begin Revelation 16, verse 1.
"Then I heard a loud voice from the temple."
And that's from heaven.
"Saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the bowls of wrath of God on the earth.'"
I do want to point out there are two Greek words for wrath. Here it is the word thumos, indicating a more agitated and inward feeling resulting in an outburst. But later, when we get to verse 19, John uses the word orge, meaning less sudden but longer lasting. So in other words, here, God's wrath, or thumos, has reached the point that it's no longer just a stewing anger of orge, but rather now a boiling over point of anger. The word wrath is definitely a good single word study that everyone should give a shot at. Anyway, let's do verse 2.
"So the first angel went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathing sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image."
Remember, God used boils as one of the plagues in Egypt.
He also allowed Satan to put them on Job.
Yes, but that was to show Satan that Job would stay a righteous man regardless of what happened to him. And I think that's a pretty good lesson for all of us. Verse 3.
"Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood, as of dead men, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs and water, and they became blood."
That also happened in Egypt. Verse 5.
"And I heard the angel of the waters saying, 'You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you had given them blood to drink. For it is their just due.' And I heard another from the altar saying, 'Even so, Lord God, Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments.'"
Back in the trumpet judgments, a third of the water became blood. Now it's all the water. Can you even imagine just turning on a faucet and blood pouring out? Verse 8.
"Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory."
And now in the midst of their suffering, all light is removed. Verse 10.
"Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds."
Verse 12.
"Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared.
Now, the original says the kings of the sun rising, so that is probably the Asian nations like China and Japan, who will be demonically seduced to cross the now dry Euphrates River to gather and meet the Antichrist's army. Verse 13.
And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty.
Now let's stop here for a moment, because there are two thoughts as to why they're going to gather, as verse 16 says, in Armageddon. They gather to either battle the Antichrist army so they can take the world power away for themselves. If that's the case, however, the Antichrist wins, and then he and his army heads to Jerusalem. Or they're going to join the Antichrist army and then head all together towards Jerusalem, where they meet Jesus coming in the clouds. So they do not fight Jesus in Armageddon. We know this because of other scriptural prophecies, as in Joel 3. Honey, could you read verses 1 and 2?
For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem.
And that began in 1948.
I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there.
Jehoshaphat is now called the Kidron Valley, which outlines Israel between the Mount of Olives, where Jesus returns on the clouds, just like he said he would. Jehoshaphat was originally named after the faithful King Jehoshaphat, and if you haven't read 2 Chronicles lately, let me remind you that in chapters 17 through 20, we read his account of how during his reign, a large army came against him from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which is today's Jordan. Now, any ungodly king might panic, but he did not. Instead, he called for his people as a group and prayed to God to help them. Then they headed toward the coming armies while singing praises as they approached them. Then God sent panic to the armies, and they began to slaughter each other. Could this happen to the armies from Armageddon upon reaching Jerusalem? You know, they might panic and kill each other as Jesus watches from Mount of Olives. Well, we shall see. Actually, we'll see ourselves, because we will return with him. One more scripture in Zechariah 14, verse 1, honey.
Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem.
Also read verse 3.
Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west.
So bottom line, all the nations still left will gather at Armageddon and then head over to Jerusalem, which is about 60 miles south, but we'll meet the Lord. And then in verse 15, Jesus slips in his reminder.
Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon.
And now the final seventh angel, verse 17.
Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done."
This last bowl will finish the judgments. Let's go to verse 18 then.
And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, which a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city,
Jerusalem,
was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell.
All from this great earthquake.
And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath.
We'll look at those details in the next chapter, but continue in verse 20.
Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Man blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great.
A talent is about 100 pounds. And did you know that it's already being stored? And it's been for a long time now. Honey, please read what God told Job in chapter 38, verses 22 and 23.
Have you entered the treasury of snow? Or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war?
Just, isn't that amazing?
It's totally amazing.
Okay, we have a little time to give a prelude to chapter 17, because this chapter gives some details of the Antichrist and this woman's relationship. For this harlot is the mother of all idolatry, whereas chapter 18, we see more of a political application. The main fact of both chapters, 17 and 18, is that they are doomed to extinction. Now, this week, be sure to read Numbers 5, verses 11 through 31. Write that down, Numbers 5, verses 11 through 31, concerning the unfaithful wife and the cup that she is made to drink. As we will see, the harlot too holds a cup in her hand. Okay, let's read Revelation 17, verse 1.
Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication."
We'll see in verse 15, the many waters actually represent people, all peoples. You know, only the Catholic Church, which at one time was the universal world church, will be so again when true believers are gone, when we're gone. And others will then join, the ones that are left, will join the Catholic Church as a one-world church. And they will continue to pray to dead people and bow before statues, which is spiritual fornication. Also, it is an undisputed known fact that the popes reigned over kings to at least the time of the Reformation. And you know, still today, presidents and prime ministers and just about everybody kisses the Pope's ring while they bow down. And also, they conducted those horrible inquisitions where millions were murdered for their goods, for their spoil. Anyhow, this world church will claim to worship God, but definitely not in their heart, nor never will. And they certainly will never enter or utter the name Yeshua. Okay, let's continue in verse 3.
So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names, blasphemy, having seven heads.
We believe that represents seven empires that have happened.
And ten horns.
And the horns represent the rulers.
The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet.
And we know those are the main colors of the Catholic Church.
And adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls.
certainly a picture of wealth and majesty.
Having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication.
Yeah, she's displaying herself with a sense of boasting, you know, that she's holding this cup, but she's not going to have to drink it. Again, I point to you, chapter 5 in the book of Numbers. Please read that this week.
And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I...
That would be John.
...saw her, I marveled with great amazement.
Yeah, that had to be quite a sight to see. Oh, anyway, the Romans killed Jesus, and we know many of his followers, certainly all the disciples except for John, and that's because he's a picture of the church. And as we just said, millions of people through the Crusades, they killed Jews as well as Muslims. They had burnings at the stake, and the Inquisitions, like Jezebel, over Naboth's garden in 1 Kings 16. Be sure to read that over again if you haven't. And by the way, you might recall, Jezebel is named in the Church of Thyatira that represented the Catholic Church. Remember we read the seven letters? This one was Revelation 2, verse 20. And I believe it's referring to the killing of people for their land. And that's what the Inquisitions, a lot of that was about. And even Pope Pius XII could have stopped the Holocaust, but wanted to stay neutral, he said. Anyhow, this harlot will soon be on her way out, as we'll see next week in more detail. And please, if you haven't read the book of Revelation in one sitting, it's really a good thing to do. But for sure, read 17 and 18 next week. But now, let me ask you, do you want to escape this horrendous tribulation? If you're listening for the first time, just maybe by accident, I just want you to know that you can escape. Luke says so. He says anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and makes him your Savior can escape this horrible judgment that's coming upon the sins of many. But it's got to be your choice. He will not take your choice away. Just decide to repent for your sins. And by the way, by repenting for your sins, it's a part of your deliverance from the evil one in your life who has a hold of your life. And then just invite him into your heart. Open the door of your heart. You know, he's knocking. He's knocking right this very moment. And of course, then there's always the in name only Christians. Or maybe you're just a low-level Christian, maybe of a number 2 or 3, like Matthew 7 talks about, only have a head knowledge of him, but not a true heart conviction, no desire to be in his word, get on your knees right now, recommit your life, don't wait another minute. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, and the Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in many ways. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.